City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 603. Happy holidays. Oh, it is the holidays, and I'm trying to do my shopping, and by goodness, I am trying to get my Christmas tree up. I got to tell you, it's kind of crazy. I have one of those pre-lit trees. I don't know if you all have one of those, but I've had it for about 7 or 8 years, and as the years have gone by, after about year 2 or 3, little sections of lights go out, and you just kind of add a section, or you turn the tree around to where the lights are in the back. Well, now I had like literally the tippy top of the tree and one other section, like a third of the way from the bottom, that lit. That's it. It was tiny. And so I was going to just cram all these Christmas lights into the tree, right? And just ignore the fact that there were all these empty bulbs all over this tree. And I told Mitchell, because we were hanging out watching CBS Sunday Morning, and I said, Mitchell, this is what I'm going to do. And I said, you know, I could just take some wire cutters and like cut all these lights off the tree. And he like held up one piece of it, and he said, Amy, do you see how many lights are on one branch? And I was like, you're totally right. I'm totally not going to do that. Either throw it out and get a new tree, or just shove these lights in there. Well, I kind of shoved the lights in there, and I pulled back the other night, and I looked at the tree, and I was like, nope. That's not going to work. So at 11 o'clock at night, because that's when the best ideas happen, I decided to cut these lights off my tree. And I got about 2/3 done. I'm exhausted. That's all that's going to happen in 2014. But now I got to get lights for it. So it's not an impossible job. It's a hard job. And I don't know. It's not exactly putting me in the Christmas spirit, but maybe it will once I get the new light strung on the tree. I am sure you probably have some foibles as well going on with these holidays. And Hanukkah is just around the corner. So happy Hanukkah to our sistren and brethren. But I am so excited today because it is kind of a holiday-ish show with family, new family, family of choice, perhaps not family of birth. But, you know, here in Chicago over the years, I've created lots of family here with friends and colleagues and people that have come in and out of my life. And one of the beautiful things is that I can kind of spend some time with people and help promote what they're doing, which is exactly, and get you all in the holiday spirit. So I'm doing all three of those things today. Big Red is on the show. That's Megan Murphy. You know her as Big Red, performing around Chicago. Started off performing at Mary's Attic quite regularly. Was hanging out with me on the couch some in the podcast a couple of years ago. And And now she has a holiday show, Big Red and the Boys, that is becoming a tradition. It's going to be at Theater Wit, and so much fun. I cannot wait. And they are performing this weekend and next weekend. I will be going for sure. It's now become, my girlfriend says, it's not really the holidays unless we go hear Big Red. And so Big Red, Megan Murphy with me today, along with one of the boys, John Francisco. So I'm so happy to have them. They're going to be providing some music for our show and talking about the holidays and being a part of the LGBT and allied family during the holidays and much, much more. So sit back, relax. Going to tell you what's going on in the news and theater and Big Red and at least one of the boys with me today on the Queercast.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News. A federal judge struck down Arkansas's voter-approved gay marriage ban, but stopped any rush to the altar by putting her order on hold so that the state can consider an appeal. U.S. District Judge Christine Baker ruled in favor of two same-sex couples who had challenged a 2004 constitutional amendment, an earlier state law, defining marriage as between a man and a woman. The couples argued the ban violated the U.S. Constitution and discriminated based on sexual orientation.
Mississippi has also had its marriage equality ban overturned. U.S. District Judge Carlton Reeves issued a preliminary injunction on November 25th, but he is putting his order on hold for 2 weeks so the state can appeal. State attorneys have already said they will ask the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals to block Reeves' order. Mississippi has a 1997 law and a 2004 voter-approved constitutional amendment that defines marriage as being between a man and a woman.
In light of Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel stepping down, SPARTA, the National Organization of LGBT Members of U.S. Armed Forces and Their Families, commended him for his service on behalf of LGBT service members and their families. However, the organization also called on him to immediately initiate a promised review of the policy prohibiting transgender individuals from serving. In May, Hagel told ABC News that the Department of Defense policies should be reviewed.
State Representative Holly Reichen from Key Largo, Republican from Key Largo, and Democratic Senator Joseph Abruzzo, Democrat from Boynton Beach, filed legislation in the Florida House and Senate, respectively, that would prohibit discrimination against LGBT people in employment, housing, and public accommodations. Known as the Florida Competitive Workforce Act, the bill would add protections for more than 536,000 LGBT adults living in Florida.
Google has caused outrage for hosting a game that allows players to shoot dead naked gay men as they try to molest the player. Ass Hunter had been playable online since 2002, but was uploaded to the Google Play App Store on November 23rd and removed after multiple negative comments on social media. The game description read, "Popular game hunting on gays is now on Android. Play and do not be gay."
Prominent New Jersey gay rights leader Stephen Goldstein has expressed his rage over a New York Times Magazine profile of New Jersey Governor Chris Christie that stated Christie did not halt passage of a same-sex marriage bill in New Jersey last year. Christie did halt the passage of a gay marriage bill. The legislation sent him in 2012 by vetoing it. It wasn't until October 2013, after a Superior Court judge ruled for same-sex marriage, that Christie dropped his challenge. Reporter Mark Libovich acknowledged the mistake, and the magazine appended a correction to the article.
While trans advocates and allies around the world were hosting vigils to commemorate the annual Transgender Day of Remembrance on November 20th, 33-year-old trans woman Thailand War was attacked by seven strangers in the lobby of her Houston apartment building. War, an entertainer who performs under the stage name Deja's Opulent Mirage, sustained injuries to her head, chest, and upper body after enduring an attack by five men and two women.
Atlanta Fire Chief Kelvin Cochran calls homosexuality the opposite of clean, compares it to bestiality and sexual perversion, and says it dishonors God in a religious book he wrote. As a result, Mayor Kazim Reed suspended Cochran for a month without pay, around $14,000, and ordered him to attend sensitivity training. Reed, in a statement, also strongly rebuked Cochran's anti-gay statements.
Also in Atlanta, a longtime gay Atlanta nightlife promoter was sentenced to 41 months in federal prison after pleading guilty to running an international drug smuggling operation that shipped meth, GHB and ketamine disguised as candy to buyers as far away as Israel. Christopher John Coleman, 48, deported to a minimum security federal prison camp in Montgomery, Alabama, to begin serving his 41-month sentence.
The parents of a gay son whose death they feel partially responsible for have now dedicated their lives to helping the parents of other gay children. Rob and Linda Robertson of Redmond, Washington, learned their son Ryan was gay when he came out to them at just 12 years old. However, the devout Christians lived by the Bible and tried to teach their son to fight his orientation. In the end, he could not, and Ryan died of a drug overdose at the age of 20. Now the Robertsons travel around the country and are dedicated to helping other evangelical parents accept their gay children.
In world news, the world's most popular gay hookup app is now based in China. Blued has ousted Grindr from the worldwide top spot of same-sex matchmaking apps. Blued has skyrocketed to 15 million users since its launch in 2012, the majority of whom are from the Asian nation. In comparison, 10 million people worldwide have downloaded Grindr since its 2009 inception.
The Finnish parliament has allowed same-sex marriage by a vote of 105 to 92. The unprecedented outcome marks the first time that a citizens' initiative has received lawmakers' blessing to be written to the law books. It also allows Finland to match its Nordic peers, all of which have legally recognized gay marriage. Finland has allowed registered partnerships since 2002.
The Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, or ISIS, group stoned two men to death in Syria after claiming they were gay in the militant organization's first execution for alleged homosexuality. The two victims, stoned in separate incidents, were 18 and 20 years old. The United Nations said in November that ISIS had stoned women in Syria and accused of adultery.
The Liberal Democratic Party of New South Wales introduced a marriage equality bill in Australia. Australia's Marriage Act defines marriage as the union of a man and a woman. The new bill proposes changing that language, the union of two people.
In Mexico, history is in the making in Tijuana, as the city will open its first ever LGBT center. The LGBT center will be in a city-owned complex in the Zona Centro and will have a soft opening in the late December and a formal opening in January of 2015.
In Denmark, Copenhagen is creating a nursing home with a special focus on serving LGBT pensioners so they're not exposed to discrimination in the last years of their lives. Roughly 5% of Denmark's seniors are LGB.
In entertainment news, Susie Orman is leaving CNBC after 14 years for a telepictures show titled Susie Orman's Money Wars. Money Wars will focus on families, friends, and couples whose disputes about money are affecting their lives. In her new gig, Orman, the author of 9 consecutive New York Times bestsellers, will settle financial arguments and teach a few lessons along the way.
Singer Idina Menzel will step away from Broadway and sound booths of Hollywood to undertake a global concert tour next year, starting July 7th in Richmond, Virginia, and ending at the Hollywood Bowl October 3rd. With the success of Frozen's Let It Go, Menzel became the first Tony Award winner to score a top hit on Billboard's Hot 100 Pop Singles chart.
For the first time in Major League Baseball, or in any major professional sport, a game official has come out as gay. Dale Scott has long been out to colleagues, but it wasn't made public. He was profiled in Referee magazine back in October and sent them a photo to use with Scott and Michael Rausch, Scott's domestic partner of 28 years. The two were recently married. Scott, a Major League Baseball umpire for the past 29 seasons, has worked three World Series in 1998, 2001, and 2004.
Joy Behar officially opened her new solo show off-Broadway. The world premiere of Me, My Mouth, and I will play a limited engagement at the Cherry Lane Theater through December 21st.
The Walking Dead creator Robert Kirkman has finally talked about the sexuality of one of the lead characters, Daryl Dixon, played by Norman Reedus. Kirkman said, "We play Daryl Dixon as being somewhat asexual on the show. I mentioned that there was a possibility early on about making Daryl Dixon's character gay, but I can make it official. Daryl Dixon is straight." He added, though, that a very prominent gay character will be introduced later in season 5.
Tony Award winner Judith Ivey and Dylan Baker will play former Prime Ministers Margaret Thatcher and John Major in the Broadway production of Peter Morgan's The Audience, which will star Oscar winner Helen Mirren as Queen Elizabeth II. The Audience's move to Broadway follows a record-breaking run at London's Guildford Theatre in 2013, for which Mirren won the Olivier Award for Best Actress in a Play. Previews begin February 17th at New York City's Gerald Schoenfeld Theatre.
The late Shakespearean actor, Oscar winner, and knight, Sir John Gielgud, wrote a gay porn script that could go into production next year. The English thespian penned the screenplay for Peter de Rome, who made gay porn in New York in the 1960s when homosexuality was illegal, and was the subject of the recent documentary, Peter de Rome, Grandfather of Gay Porn. Gielgud never publicly came out as gay, but was caught cruising in a public toilet in London in 1953, which reportedly led to a mental breakdown.
And Kevin Keller, Riverdale's first out gay teen in the Archie comic series, is coming back with his own ongoing series in 2015. Keller's debut in Veronica number 202 sold out, leading to a Kevin Keller ongoing series that started in 2012. The character has also appeared in the alternate future title Life with Archie as a gay senator with an African-American husband. Keller's series was canceled this past summer.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Is it always right to pursue these feelings?
Hey, this is Ari Gold, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
And I know that I've been down this road before.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Dance.
Art. Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird. Innovative.
Campy. Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of December 8th, 2014, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Steppenwolf Theater presents Broadway Bound Airline Highway, a new play set in New Orleans about a ragtag collection of strippers, hustlers, and philosophers. A boisterous and moving ode to the outcast to make life a little more interesting. Heading to Broadway in the spring of 2015, see it first at Steppenwolf. Learn more at steppenwolf.org.
Chicago Shakespeare invites you to set sail on Shakespeare's miraculous odyssey, Pericles, filled with adventure, romance, wonder, and redemption. Hailed as one of North America's best classical performers by the Chicago Tribune, Stratford Festival actor Ben Carlson takes on the title role beginning November 30th. For tickets to Pericles, visit chicagoshakes.com.
On December 4th, 1956, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley played together for the first and only time. Relive that night with the smash hit rock and roll musical, Million Dollar Quartet. For tickets, visit MillionDollarQuartetLive.com, now playing at the Apollo Theater. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead. You're not alone. Post a comment.
Well, the holidays are coming, and it's got me so upset. See, I got a burning question nobody's answered yet. Good girls get toys for Christmas, but Santa, what do bad girls get? Do you cross me off your list for flirting and for teasing? Yes, I pouted and I cried, but I had a real good reason. Oh, I got a burning question nobody's answered yet.
Well, the holidays for me are not the holidays. I already have a new tradition. The holidays are not the holidays without Big Red and the boys. And I'm excited to have Big Red here. Kind of on the couch with one of her boys.
With one of the boys.
With John Francisco.
That's me.
That's
you, baby. So Megan Murphy, a.k.a. Big Red, you know has been on the Queercast before many times because she used to live in my maison. In my house.
A maison.
And then my girl grew up and she moved out.
I moved up and I moved out, girl, but I miss you.
She is well known in Chicago's music cabaret and LGBT community. She's performed at performs at Mary's Attic regularly. She was in Rent last season at the Paramount Theater and kicked all kinds of ass.
Thank you.
Also performed at the Black Ensemble Theater and stole the show. We'll talk about that because Megan is a white girl. And then in this annual holiday show, Big Red and the Boys, which is in its third year? Is that right?
This is the fourth year that we've played together,
me
and this group of fellas. But this is the second year that we've sort of gone legit.
Because I think I was there in the inaugural year where you were doing your holiday show at Mary's Attic and the boys kind of jumped up on stage. Mm-hmm. Well, she is a force of nature, singer, actor, entertainer, and she's going to be leading this night of holiday cheer and music and lots of laughter with the lovely John Francisco, who's here with us, an About Face Theater Company member who you probably saw in The Homosexuals or in The Pride.
You did do both those
plays, and it's cool because the show is has the support of About Face Theater, Chicago's LGBT theater company, and also this year is in association with Theater Wit, where it will be shown right there on Belmont. So it's a great location, and I'm just thrilled to have both of you here on a cozy inside with our little throaty tea.
I know, we're drinking delicious tea that Amy made.
It's exactly right. I feel that we should just, have the holiday cheer, and I should have put a shot of something in here, but we'll do that after we end the show. That's right. Who's to say I didn't? So, happy holidays. Do you two love this time of year, or is this a hard time of year, so this is the way you get through it with music and friends?
I mean, I think there are worse ways to get through something.
Absolutely.
Than with music and friends. I mean, that's kind of it. It's a lovely time of year, it gets awfully cold.
You're a California girl.
I am a California girl, born and raised, so it gets a little chilly.
And now you've been in Chicago how long?
Girl, it's been almost 5 years.
Almost 5 years. 5 golden years.
Oh, relax, 14.
14 from Georgia.
20 from Tennessee.
All right, she wins.
Between us, we have about 40 years, though.
What are we doing
which is
here?
Crazy. What are we doing here?
Right.
But it is, I think, for, and John, how about you? Is this a hard time of year, a great time of year?
It's pretty awesome. And the last 4 years have been remarkably special because we have been playing music during this time. And the theme of the show is sort of chosen family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot of our songs center around that theme. And it's sort of like you're walking into Big Red's living room. And the boys are there as part of her family. So ever since we started playing music, I've done a lot of Christmas shows over the holidays, money makers. But this has been the first one that I've done that has felt really grounded in who I am as a real human being.
Yeah, well, I mean, the show this year is called Just A Crying. New Home for the Holidays, and I really think that message is. Really, I would say, your guiding message throughout the shows mm-hmm. that I've seen in the past that are because primarily the show, as I just said earlier, burst out of kind of this moment in a gay bar, mm-hmm. in the attic of a gay bar, where people gather together. But it is true, from the Thanksgiving holidays into Christmas and into New Year's, for so many of us, it's like we've had to create new families, or we just have new families and we have our families of origin, but our families within the community, or the Chicago community, or the theater community, or the bar community, or LGBT community, or whatever, have been so important, I think, for so many of us. So I love that you've kind of rooted that in something and in the message of the show.
Yeah, I think the holidays stress a lot of people out.
Yeah.
And it really is supposed to be a time of being together and reflecting on the past year and enjoying each other's company and food and all sorts of these good things. And somehow, somewhere along the way, we get stressed out about plane tickets and Christmas presents and what our families are going to think, or, you know, we get lost in the mm-hmm. in the stress of it. And I don't know, I think our show was started in a way that was like, you don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. You can spend this holiday mm-hmm. however you want.
Yeah.
You know, you can spend it with your friends, singing with people that you love, for mm-hmm. people you love. Mm-hmm. I can't think of a better way.
The celebratory part of it, yeah. is being with that chosen community. And you're right, it is. It's a connection of the theater community and the queer community, I think, specifically. And that's mm-hmm. why we linked with About Face this year, is yeah. because mm-hmm. because some of the board members from About Face came to the show last year and were like, wow, that really fits within the About Face sort of mission.
Yeah. Because I mean, About Face for many years did a show, The Gift and Other Stories, and that was what that kind of show was. It was this short one act that was written about kind of gay couples, and then we had a lot of music and things like that around it, and we haven't had something like that in the community. You know, there's lots of little fun things. I don't mean to take away from lots of shows that LGBT people are doing, but with the mission really being like, this is what we do around the hearth yeah. and around the piano, and with, you know, we don't have as many of those piano bars in Chicago as we used to, so mm-hmm. that moment in time where we all used to do that in the 80s and 90s, you two are babies, so you don't remember some of those, but...
Well, we're trying to create that for people who mm-hmm. may not feel like they have a home, quote-unquote, necessarily to go home to mm-hmm. for the holidays. So
yeah.
we're
sort of creating a new warm, one.
Yeah.
Some place to be silly. I mean, we are dumb.
Dumb!
But, you know, that's what you can do when you're with the people who yeah. you can be yourself
with. Right, it's a safe place. Yeah.
And I think that's what, you know, we theater people are a weird tribe, but we get to be ourselves around each other.
Yeah.
And then certainly queer folk are yeah. are also that way. You know, you finally find people that you can just be who you are around.
Yeah. And so the other boys, we should say, are Patrick, Nick, and Charlie is new this year, mm-hmm. right?
Charlie, but he's no stranger to the queer community.
Yeah.
He's an awesome musician who works a lot with Scootie and JoJo on their events, like Alien Queen and whatnot.
Great.
So Nick and I have played with him.
Yeah.
And then Patrick's my boyfriend.
Yes, Patrick Andrews from, people know Patrick. He's doing Christmas Carol right now.
Yes.
He's looking like the Angel Gabriel if
there
was a porn film. Yeah. It's a raving porn film.
We call him the rave
reel.
The rave angel. That's funny. But people also know him from The Normal Heart and last season. It was a beautiful performance. Mm-hmm. So tell me, because I know then you're bringing a lot of different musical ideas to the table, but, you know, it is Big Red and the Boys. So what are the artists and songs that you wanted to put in the mix, Megan, to kind of have, or how does the music selection happen? Or maybe it's people bringing you songs and going, Megan, I want to hear you sing this. Or
It's a lot of all of that, really.
Because it's a balance, too, between
balance.
The silly and the sweet and sincere.
Yeah, and anybody who has ever come to see a Big Red show knows very well that I don't take myself too seriously. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely some strong BS moments.
You can
in the
say
show.
Bullshit. You can say it.
It's, oh, we're not there's on the radio. Some major bullshit.
There's some major bullshit
in the show. No, it's I don't want to give anything away. So some of the bullshit moments that are mm-hmm. my favorites are mm-hmm. you have to come to see it. But mm-hmm. John comes to me often and says, you know, oh my God, I can't wait to make you sing this, mm-hmm. or I was, you know, John is very instrumental in. Making this whole thing happen, you know, mm-hmm. he's responsible for most of the arrangements, and you know, we collaborate very easily. Mm-hmm. It's a very easy process. You know, I bring a dumb idea to the table, and he goes, okay, well, let's see how we can make that work. Or he brings something to the table, and I say, okay, well, send it to me, and I'll listen to it. And,
mm-hmm.
and I, you know, 10 times out of 10, love it, and mm-hmm. we just kind of go from there, and we mm-hmm. go, okay, well, what can we say about that, and where does that fit, and how does that fit into sort of the main themes of the show? And then we just kind of
is the show new this year? Is the show within a structure of shows previous, building on shows previous?
So our first show that we ever did together, we had only 3 songs that we did.
Right.
The next year we did 9. Last year we did 19. And this year, I think we are at the place where we're cutting six.
And we have and we're adding eight.
Potential eight on the table.
So I think there's like eight or nine new songs.
Wow.
From last year.
And a lot of, like, this year I wrote an original song for Megan that I'm really, really excited about because...
We're writing a song right now together.
We're writing an original song together.
Yeah.
Megan's writing the lyrics and we're figuring out that music soon.
Yeah.
But it's really great because it's so liberating to write for somebody else's voice. And this is something I was just talking about it last night to Megan, that it's like one of the things I've discovered over the last year is how inspiring it is to not write a song for you to sing,
mm-hmm.
but imagining somebody's voice in your head and what it's mm-hmm. going to sound like when they take those notes and those lyrics and transform them into something real. So there's a song that I wrote for Megan this year. And then we both bring a ton of songs to the table. And right now we just sort of play them and see how they sound together, like Hard Candy Christmas,
mm-hmm.
which you'll hear at some point. Maybe we'll play it today, is one of the tracks. And you know, that we just basically pulled the chords down and all sat in a room and we're like, let's see what this sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really exciting.
And that was yesterday.
That was yesterday.
So,
and then Megan shapes. She's got all of the chops to understand what it is to shape an evening of music.
Yeah.
So nothing is precious. As Megan said, it's so easy. It's so easy to do the work together that it's effortless. And that is what makes it the home for the holidays.
Yeah. That it's just joyful and easy. Mm-hmm. And so when I say to you, you know, three singers singing Christmas music that you want to hear every holiday season, you never get sick of, who are those singers for you, Megan?
Holiday songs specifically?
Yeah, who sing during the holidays and have a holiday CD or a holiday album that that just, like, for me, I can say Mitch Miller just reminds me of Christmas.
I just saw that that LP at a record store.
Yeah. I had the LP. I was just at my grandmother's, and after she passed it, she has these huge old speakers with the turntable you lift off the lid.
And
there's two of them in the dining room, and one has albums and one has the player, and we would go in there and listen to Mitch Miller. And so I always hear Must Be Santa, because as a kid you loved, you know, reindeer sleigh, go our way, ho, 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 cherry nose. You know, it was like all those things. Cap on head, suit that's red, special night, beard that's white, Must Be Santa. It was like, almost you could see the bouncing ball, you know, and the mm-hmm. organ. It's very Lawrence Welke. So
I love it.
Yeah.
So I will name mine. Maybe that will help. I like, you know, Mitch Miller, totally. Barbra Streisand.
Duh.
And I kind of want two more, but I would probably say Celine because I'm a Celine fan. So
hey, I love that Celine too.
These
are special times.
She's
a special lady.
She's a special lady. These are special times.
I guess Mariah's album would be one of the more modern classics. I mean,
I agree.
You know, at first it was like, oh, well, here's this pop star putting out a Christmas album mm-hmm. to make money. But it's like, that song comes up every Christmas, mm-hmm. every mm-hmm. year.
And, you know, but I miss you
most at Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good song.
That gets me. That's the last track on the side one of the
tape.
The cassette that I had. Just wearing that out. And then, of course, you know, Whitney's Do You Hear What I Hear?
Yeah.
Starring Darlene Love.
Yeah,
in the backup is so classic too.
And John, you have any that
you know? If I was gonna say, the one album that I would not want to part with at the holidays would be the Muppets Christmas.
Christmas.
John Denver and the Muppets. I mean, that is a great, great Christmas album.
I love that.
I'm a child.
Well, I was going to say I want another one to put the Carpenters, because if I don't hear
Carpenters, they're on a whole other level.
It is kind of crazy when we think of like these grand women and John Denver who that we connect to these voices, you know. I mean, Kelly Clarkson has become maybe
It's Wrapped in Red.
Yeah, and the song that she did from Love Actually wasn't that her that had the song from Love Actually?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure what song that is.
Did she do that?
Yeah. Yeah, I just can't remember it. But anyhow, we'll go and look that up now. But you know, these women that mm-hmm. put their mark on holiday classics. So I definitely I encourage people to come and check out how you've put your own stamp on some of these. you know,
that's so sweet.
Full of the bullshit and full of the charm and sweetness and sincerity, which is really great, because it takes an artist, you know, of your status and a voice, not only just like the technical voice, but you have something to say and a perspective. So it's really, really kind of cool.
Thanks, Amy.
So do you all have favorite holiday traditions, or do you have new traditions that you started with, not with the show, but just in your life, that you care to share or care to share with the LGBT community, who sometimes feel like, I don't have traditions, I don't have family here anymore, maybe I'm not dating anybody, I'm single this holiday, like, what are some things I can do? Because I would tell people, definitely head to Sidetrack, because there's always some fun stuff being slung up. You know, go sing with people, go, you know, I do think gay bars are really, can be fun, great places during the Thanksgiving holidays, Christmas holidays, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, it's kind of just like, do what you want, you know. I mean, there is a lot of expectation involving sort of family and stuff, but, you know, make your own traditions. One of the only traditions that we have in my family, you know, other than like the nap after the festivities of Christmas morning and then until we eat again, that's sort of one of the only ones. But we, my family is fairly small, my immediate family. I have one brother and one first cousin on either side of my family. So, and we all grew up in California together. So the kids, the three of us, would go through the sea of presents, you know, after we sort of get up and have breakfast and the adults are chit-chatting and we figure out where everyone is going to sit, and then we put the presents in their spot. And it takes us a while, because my family will wrap a present, a present, and put it under there, big, small, who cares. And and that's something that I will miss. I'm actually not going home for the first time for Christmas ever. This is the first year I will
not
be there.
So are you thinking about new traditions then that you'll do here in Chicago?
I am, yeah. My
like
mom,
ice skating downtown or seeing the Christmas lights?
Yeah. My mom is coming to visit, which will be really great quality time with her, because I feel like that sort of gets swept to the wayside, because things need to be cooked and other family members need to be taken care of, and we don't necessarily get a lot of one-on-one time. So I'm really excited about that. She's coming to the show.
Woohoo!
She's coming to the late night show.
It's gonna be good.
Good, I like that.
It's gonna be rowdy,
John.
You know,
do you
if
have
I were
traditions?
Gonna say this year, well, I do have traditions, and you're gonna make fun of me.
I'm not gonna make fun of you. I'm gonna make fun of you with John Denver and the Muppets when I'm mentioning, you know, Karen Carpenter.
I'll take any opportunity.
And nobody said Patty LaBelle.
I'm sure you will.
So. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, this year I would go out and see Into the Woods. I'm so excited.
Oh, I am so excited.
So
to see
if I were by myself, I mean, you better believe that I would be at the midnight show of Into the Woods on Christmas Eve and be like, you know, I'm going to sleep late.
Yeah.
But our traditions, Patrick and I have spent the last three Christmases up here. We haven't gone home, which is the first time that I haven't gone home. It's this stretch of time. And it's really great. Our tradition of just being a couple and waking up and making big old pot of coffee and some sticky buns.
Oh, those sticky buns.
Sticky buns. But the and we put on the
And you're talking about the
crowns.
Kind that you like pop and put on a sheet.
Oh, Pillsbury
dough. You're all sticky buns.
Oh, what? Are you using euphemism?
Have you seen John Francisco and Patrick Andrews? I don't
Hello.
Think they use any euphemism.
Hello, goodbye.
Exactly.
They're going to talk about that more at the show.
They're sticky buns.
Get those.
You better believe it.
Sticky butts in the seats.
Maybe we'll
for the
model
show.
Some sticky buns. Anyway, tradition. So I do. I have a very specific tradition with Patrick. Every year, I buy him a new children's book, and I take a card, a really nice, like usually a die cut card, and I glue the envelope inside the book, and then in the card I put a list of. I keep a religious calendar, so everything that's happened to us in the past year, it's sort of my journal is my calendar. So I'll go through my calendar and I'll just sort of like mark down the date of what happened that day and what that meant for us. And so he gets a whole tracking of the year. And then the next year when the holidays come around, however many years, we'll start just backing up. And like 5 days before Christmas, we'll read one of the letters. And then the next day we'll read a letter. And then on Christmas Eve.
Barf.
I know. It's
y'all are so sweet. I did that too, but I was in high school and I just gave a card listing all the movies we had seen that year or videos. Mm. VHS.
Yes, VHS.
That's what Jerry Dye did for Jerry Dye. Scott Depp's partner.
I forgot you almost had me.
John just almost did a spit take.
I did. Uh-huh. Almost do a
Jerry
spit
Dye.
Take. Yeah.
God.
Love that was Jerry Dye.
Like, you know, seeing Mannequin. You know, that's, yes. That was
you know, like gating. Holiday classics.
Yeah, holiday classics like Mannequin.
Mannequin.
And we can build this together. No, I don't mean to piss all over. You're very beautiful. That's really so sweet.
It's only sweet if we stay
it's
together
really
forever.
It's really sweet.
It's adorable.
It's really sweet.
It's
a lifetime. And, you know, I think that's the thing. It's hard to look back and go, good Lord, what else happened in this year? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's where we are too in this reflection of like looking back. And you know, in our upcoming couple of shows, we'll be doing our year in review with Andrew Davis, the senior editor at Windy City Times, and Matt Simonette. And you know, it's really true that I mean, this has been a year for the LGBT community.
Yeah.
You know, definitely in the United States with same-sex marriage and marriage equality and. Becoming really now the way it is for most Americans, and in the states that are holding out are, you know, we're going to see a lot, I think, in the upcoming months as to what that's going to be about, but also what's going on in the world. You know, everyone is not as, still needs our energy and still needs the protections that we're fighting for and equality that we're fighting for. Mm-hmm. So it's like this really big year in entertainment and all of that too. And it's just, it could be a lot to look back on, you know, who we are as a community and who we are as friends and allies. And so it is a season of reflection, right? And I feel like yeah. You guys kind of do that with us, you know, throughout the show just mark, you know, a marker. Like it will
it
be
is,
interesting.
It's like a reset button.
It is
for a lot of people. I think that's why it can be a really joyous time of year, or it can be a really mm-hmm. lonely or introspective mm-hmm. kind of time for mm-hmm. a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So I like you can hear the same holiday song and be filled with joy and be in tears at the same time.
Yeah,
and it's kind of inexplicable.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
There's a feeling of. You know, sort of that's the reset button of what has happened mm-hmm. in the past year.
Well, the show is, there's only 5 of them. So this is really like premium property to get one of these seats in one of these 5 performances at Theater Wit. And you can grab a drink in the lobby and come and bring the drink in. And it's like a party that we sit down and, like you said, sit
yep.
around. It's all acoustic, right? There's
no
guitar
mics.
And no mics. And
we're all in the same
guitar,
room together.
Guitar, bass, piano. We have percussion,
mm-hmm.
cello.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's all acoustic. And, of course, you only, Megan and John, are the only two here on the show tonight. But all the other voices and instruments and all of that. And is it happening again on the Santaland set?
It
so
is.
So it's on
yeah.
our very sweet co-host Mitchell Fain, Santaland Diary set. You can do a double feature some of these nights. You can
absolutely.
See Santaland.
I think there's a ticket deal.
Oh.
If you check in with the box office at Theater
Wit.
Theater
Wit.
Many people
make
did
it a
that
double
last
feature.
Year.
Yeah, you can come see Mitchell's show, grab a bite to eat, come back and see your show, I think, based on, or you can go to the Late Show. Mm-hmm. Of Mitchell's show on a 2-show night and then come see your show. So
that's right.
you got choices here. Big Red and the Boys, A New Home for the Holidays. It's playing at Theater Wit. 5 shows only, December 12th, 13th, 19th, and 20th. Those are Friday, Saturday nights at 11 o'clock. And there's one Monday night show, for those of you who 11 o'clock is not your jam. And Monday's so great to have a show on, not only for theater and artistic types, know that's kind of an industry nice night.
Totally.
But I think for normal people who don't do theater, during this holiday season, Fridays and Saturdays can get really busy and weekends can get really busy. And it's kind of nice to like have a Monday and go to a 8 o'clock show there on December 15th, which is your Monday night show. And tickets are only $20. That's like, that is a good deal.
It's best deal in town, baby.
That's a great, great deal. And tickets are at theaterwit.org, and I'll have that linked in our show notes so you can get those tickets and go ahead. And I would encourage you to get your tickets in advance. Don't wait to get them day of. Because it's an intimate theater, and now I think with with About Face and with Theater Wit and with your all's fans who've seen the past, you know, years of this show, it's going to sell out quick. So, you know, get a drink, you know, escape, go have some fun with this new family who feels like my family, but if you've never met any of these people, they'll feel like your family after about 20 minutes, you know, of some bullshit and some fun times and a little tear that you flick away. All the feelings, have all the feelings in this experience. It's true. And Megan, I just kind of want to tease because I know I was saying earlier that it's really interesting that you were performing at Black Ensemble Theater and you were like the sole white woman on stage practically and literally got like a standing ovation singing like Patti LaBelle or somebody. Who were you singing?
Aretha
Franklin. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, you made it even crazier.
I mean, the dull nerve of Jackie Taylor for having the white girl sing an Aretha song.
But then, okay, so you're in Black Ensemble Theater singing Aretha and living in a standing ovation at Black Ensemble Theater right here in our Edgewater hood. And if you've been to Black Ensemble Theater, you know that they throw it down.
Yeah, they don't water it down.
They don't water it down. No. So for you to get a standing ovation there. Then last season you were in Rent. And you played a part that's...
A strong black woman.
A strong black woman attorney.
Yeah.
As a white redheaded woman.
Correct.
A non-lesbian woman. But right. You're not narrow. You're straight, but not narrow.
I'm straight, but not narrow.
You're the cutest boyfriend in the world. But besides
so
Patrick Andrews, she was also the cutest boyfriend in the world. And then now, and I hope this is... Maybe I'm giving somebody a scoop, but it has definitely been announced. But the scoop is you are... in Tommy, coming up at the Paramount Theater in 2015.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
Who are you playing?
Yeah.
I will be playing the Acid Queen.
Acid Queen, which is primarily...
right behind you, John.
Played by Tina Turner.
Yep.
A strong black woman.
Yep.
So, Megan, is there something you'd like to tell us? I mean, we are an LGBTQ and supporting podcast. If you have not come out of the closet about something that if you're transitioning and you would like to tell us, we are really the most accepting, and I would love the scoop.
You really are.
You know, I really would. I've done a lot of work in my career. I've talked to a lot of people, but this would be premium scoop if you tell me you're transitioning to be a strong black woman.
I really feel
or
like...
Or not transitioning, you are admitting that you are.
I feel like I have found my home with coming to terms with the fact that I have always been and always will be a strong black woman.
Yeah.
And I'm just happy that I get the opportunity to play such fierce characters.
Yeah.
You know? Black, white, purple, alien, who cares?
Yeah.
Like,
yes, you were also an alien queen, so, I mean,
right.
We don't know.
Acid queen, alien queen.
You've played
I love the queens!
I mean, if there's ever a question that Megan is probably more queer than me and you, John, put together, we just absolutely put that recipe together.
Yep.
That cake has been baked.
It smells good, baby. What's cooking?
And when is that? When is the Paramount show happening?
We start rehearsals the day after we finish our last show, the Big Red and the Boys show. So we start on the 22nd.
Before Christmas.
And then we open, I think, January 15th or...
That's a short little rehearsal period.
Oh, yeah. They don't...
I mean, the Acid Queen is good because she gets to get in and get out. So.
I keep saying it's the Judi Dench of musical theater roles.
Yes.
It's like 10 minutes and like, peace, I'm at the bar.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's pretty wonderful. I would have called it the Helen Hayes, but see, you're going to call it the Judi Dench.
I'm now imagining Judi Dench as the Acid Queen.
I mean, that would be amazing.
Well, she's a strong black woman.
She
so
is. She could
strong
kill
strong black
everyone.
British woman.
Yes.
And so it would work. Well, that's just amazing. And if folks haven't, I mean, Paramount is where Mitchell and I went to go see Olivia Newton-John. I was really sad that I did not get to go see Donnie and Marie. And that was a little sad for me. But
they get great people out there all the time. They're
it is amazing
really
their production
of
Rent. I mean, the caliber of what they do is extraordinary.
It is. And just that theater alone is like, if you've never been there.
Yeah, it's in Aurora, folks. And, you know, if you think, I don't have a car, that's really, really far. It's the easiest thing in the world to go downtown, talk about a fun tradition or a fun thing to do. To like, you know, hop the Metra and
ride
it out there. And when we went out this summer, because they had the outdoor thing, subscription series, and we went to go see the Indigo Girls, who I've seen many, many times, but Jennifer Nettles of Sugarland was singing with them, who is, she is so good.
She can sing a little.
She can sing a little and a lot. And I love it when she does either. And And we literally grabbed a bottle of wine and some, you know, some a baguette and some cheese and met some friends downtown and, like, rode the Metro out. We had a nice little buzz on. We went to the park. I mean, it's, like, it's really great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, really great to just sit back, relax. You have to walk, like, across a parking lot to
get that's about it.
Easy.
Yeah. And they really...
From the Metro.
They're really putting on some... extraordinary productions. I mean, not just, you know, the one that I was involved in, but the things that I have gone to see friends in, or you know, just to support the theater. They're kind of kicking everyone's ass at this point.
I mean, it's kind of off the chain.
They're really beautiful. They're really smart, and they're reimagining these classic, humongous shows that everybody knows and everybody loves
in a humongous theater. So
in a humongous theater,
it's like a Broadway-sized theater,
you know, 2,000 seats. So, and it's full most of the time.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how that is happening, but someone is very good at their jobs.
Well, I wanted to mention it because we won't have you back on the show before then, but we will definitely go and see it. And
awesome.
Mitchell and I will be talking about it, I am sure, in January, and encouraging everybody to come out and see it at Paramount. Really good friends of the LGBT community and ours at Windy City Times and the Queercast. So we're thrilled that you're going to be a part of that. But right now, get your tickets, everyone, and come and see Megan, aka Big Red, and the boys, led by John Francisco, who's here with us today. Get your tickets for the show December 12th, 13th, 19th, and 20th. Those are Friday and Saturday nights, the second and third week of December at 11 o'clock. So, you know, you go to dinner, grab some friends. This is the ultimate thing to do on a date night. I think it's an ultimate thing to do single, if you're single, to the city, because you will meet people, because it's the environment where you can actually probably meet
absolutely
some people. Because people
party.
Come in groups or singles.
Take yourself
or couples.
On a single
mingle, jingle.
Ooh, I like it. Or if you need it to be earlier, or your weekends are just pack, you don't want to do an 11 o'clock show, December 15th, Monday, December. Y'all can high-five each other. I'm okay with that.
Oh, no, I'm flipping them off.
Or you can flip each other off. Monday, December 15th at 8 o'clock is the reasonable hour of a show. And the show is a new home for the holidays. Make it your home this holidays. Make it a part of your tradition. It's playing at Theater Wit, 1229 West Belmont. And it's only $20, folks. And you can get those tickets at theaterwit.org, linked in our show notes. And it's very easy to park. They have a parking lot, or there's valet, or there's all kind of stuff there with Stage 773 and Theater Wit right next door to one another. So we'll go out with Big Red and the Boys, but thanks so much for being on the Queercast and welcoming in the holiday season and spreading your good cheer and your bullshit.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us, Haley.
It's nice to see you.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now. Merry Christmas.